So I invite Nicola to come forward, and she's going to read to us this morning's reading.
Good morning. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." What do I say now? What do I say now? This is the word of the Lord. I always forget. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm so glad, Nicola, that you forgot. That makes us feel so much better. But, yeah. Dave has put up on the screen a picture by Van Gogh of the Good Samaritan. And the parable of the Good Samaritan has been speaking to us, really, about the work of CAP as an organisation, how it works and what it aims to do and to be for people. This morning, we want to pick out a few things that strike us and explain how we think they relate to the work we're doing at our CAP Centre here at Christchurch. But as we do so, in no way are we setting ourselves up as models. The Good Samaritan is an incredibly high sort of barrier to get to, and we just really want to example what we've seen of the Good Samaritan and God's love as we have worked with CAP. But as we do this, we would really also invite you to reflect on how this relates to your own circumstances and allow the Holy Spirit to encourage you as you do so.
So, who is my neighbour? That's the question that prompts Jesus to tell this story. Jesus introduces a character that is both a long way from someone that this poor, wounded man would normally mix with, but he's also a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans, as you may be aware, had been enemies for centuries. This incident certainly doesn't bring the word neighbour to mind. It makes me think about the people that I might normally steer clear of, or the homeless people I might just walk past, let alone people I might see on the news who live a long way away. It seems as if Jesus is challenging us to look much wider than those that we live near or normally mix with. We have been finding that CAP is increasingly taking us into places that we would not normally go. And this is not only into people's homes in parts of town that we don't normally visit. There is a sense in which we feel our eyes are being opened to parts of the community around us that we wouldn't normally come across. We've been privileged to visit young adults living in supported accommodation. We're developing a working relationship with a drug and alcohol rehab charity, and we spend a significant amount of our time in their offices with clients. Also, we're in touch with churches outside of our C of E tradition. Last week, we got to hear a little bit about the inside of the infant and junior schools on our doorstep. And all of this challenges us to extend our vision for the work of the Debt Centre and the potential for God to touch people who would not normally encounter anyone from a church. CAP does seem to fit well with other areas of Christchurch life.
To love, it's a verb, a doing word, as we'd have said at school. The expert at the beginning of the story quotes the two greatest commandments to Jesus: love God and your neighbour as yourself. Jesus' response isn't about feelings, but about action. Do this and live. At the end of the story, his instruction to the man is, go and do likewise. Do this and you will live isn't just about eternal life in the future, but about fullness of life in the present. The moments where you feel you're completely forced to depend on God are often when you feel fully alive. In the parable, the Good Samaritan probably feels some concern or compassion for the wounded man, but his actions are because it's the right thing to do rather than necessarily out of a warm, mushy feeling. It's an automatic response. Someone needs rescuing, and I'm here, so it's me. It's also about living with your eyes open, and so you can see the need in front of you, with expectations and readiness. Where is God calling me? Where is God calling you? This church family is full of people who are living this fully engaged, active life of serving love to those around them. Where is God calling us to demonstrate active love at the moment?
Jericho is about 18 miles from Jerusalem. The road drops down over 3,000 feet from Jerusalem. It's steep in places, and the path underfoot was rocky, and it was notoriously dangerous. There were many places for bandits to hide along the way. Bandits were robbers who were often also violent. It was certainly not a place to saunter or pause, and the dangers of it were well known. The Van Gogh painting gives us an image of what that road might have been like. How often does our Christian journey feel like walking a very difficult path, where we can't predict what's ahead, and the path underneath us feels difficult and far away from being secure? Our client journeys sometimes feel very difficult. We seem to be getting more and more clients with very complex needs, and we find ourselves working with other charities to support them. We never know what we're going to be faced with before we first meet a client. We're giving very minimal information about them. Often people don't follow a straightforward route, and some of them go completely off radar along the way. Sometimes they are very frustrating, and sometimes we worry about them. And some have needs way beyond our capacity to meet, and we need a really good awareness of our own limits. We've had to look at ways of working that give them the best possible chance of getting through the process and becoming and staying debt-free, and to give them a fighting chance of being able to make better financial decisions for themselves. We've also had to make sure that we take account of our own safety and emotional well-being, and we're constantly having to review our practice to try to do the best that we possibly can for our clients.
Fear of helping. Why did the priest and Levite not help when they had an obligation to do so? It's often argued that they wanted to avoid getting ritually unclean. But then other people say, well, they were walking away from Jerusalem, so away from the temple rather than towards it. And they had responsibilities to help those in need, or to bury him if he was dead. Perhaps one of the reasons they didn't help was because of fear. Sally's already mentioned the personal risks of stopping along the road. In our work with CAP clients, we certainly find that we are frequently in a position where we have fears. For Sally, it's driving around certain areas where she doesn't know where she's going. For me, it's about dogs, well, and cats, and actually any other animals, to be honest. We've had some quite threatening dogs, a house with 8 cats that for me is like a nightmare, a snake in a tank in one corner, other things like facing a client who's angry or hostile for one reason or another. What helps us in these times is knowing that we felt called to this work. Support from each other, support from the volunteers who come with us, and from the church family who we know are praying for us. This makes an absolutely huge difference to us. Can you identify any fears that create barriers for you when helping people? What helps you to overcome them?
So who is the Good Samaritan? To a Jew, there was no such thing as a Good Samaritan. It seemed to be significant that the person that actually needed the help was almost certainly meant to be Jewish, and the one doing the helping was the Samaritan. In the parable, the Samaritan is compassionate enough for the injured person that he stops on this notoriously dangerous road to help. His compassion is clearly stronger than his fear or his self-interest. This is the ideal that Jesus calls us to, and we certainly don't claim to meet that very high ideal. But perhaps because we have experienced something of the way that Jesus has come alongside us at times in our lives, then we find that somehow we're able to stand alongside others who need that same love. So often we feel that we're not equipped to deal with whatever is in front of us. And yet we find that God has gone ahead of us and gives us the compassion to be there and to listen, and the flexibility that we might need to work with a client. So often we find that we too meet God in a client appointment and come away changed by it. It's almost as if the Good Samaritan is a third party in the room ministering to all of us, or even that the client somehow gives us something of God. Maybe a question for all of us to ask ourselves is which character in this story we most associate with a particular moment in time. The parable seems to be not so much about what the priest and the Levite did not do, but what the Samaritan did do. And maybe there is also something here about having an encounter with Christ in a completely unexpected way or place, or an encounter with someone where we really would not expect to meet Jesus. The Samaritan acted with extravagant love, as God would do. Paula Gooder, a well-known theologian, wrote that acting with extravagant love and compassion is a hallmark of divine action in the Bible. What would we do in similar circumstances? Can we place compassion above fear or dislike in order to act?
An author called Henry Martin, who wrote a book about this parable and this painting, made the following points about the help that was given. Firstly, the Samaritan stops and cares. He gave the time that was necessary to meet the needs of the man. He binds his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. His compassionate response was to meet the practical needs of the man, but without creating lasting dependence on him. He reclaims the man for life, putting him on his animal and taking him to safety. He pays money for his care at the inn, a selfless, practical response to need. He promises to return. He doesn't dust his hands of the whole situation, but is prepared to keep giving until it's no longer required. These all resonate with Cap's aims and visions. Stopping and caring is a key one. Many of our clients feel that they're not seen as people. Stopping and giving them our full attention and showing them basic kindness can have a transforming impact. We want to empower and enable rather than doing things to them. Paying for the man's care at the inn. We've been able to provide for immediate needs through the generous donations we receive for the food bank and our client fund. Hampers, food parcels, about 10 each month. Asda deliveries, practical items that are needed as and when. Even just things that help us to bless someone have made a difference. We had one family who were very, very keen gardeners. They were just on a state pension. And in order to try and meet their bills, they couldn't afford any plants for the garden. And we were able to buy them some bedding plants just so that they could be blessed, really, and put them in their garden for the spring. Promising to return. The wounded man is not just dealt with and then dismissed as the Samaritan moves on to the next good deed. For me, this is a crucial aspect of the hope in the faithfulness of God. He doesn't leave us and move on. This is something that's been very meaningful for some of our clients who've lost their trust in people doing things that have been promised and have just been feeling left dumped by the side of the road. And finally, giving hope in the present and for the future. 14 clients have gone debt-free this year. That's more than in the whole of last year. Some clients we lose before the end of the process, but we just have to trust God that we're like a stone in the pond and that he's using us to bring that client into contact with ripples of his love. I thought we'd just give an illustration of one client over the last year who really stands out in our minds, particularly as exemplifying our vision for the work of CAP. This is a client that we'd heard about before we met him. We were seriously concerned because of his history, which was a significantly violent one. And he was also battling addiction to drugs. And we didn't think that we'd be able to find a way to work with him safely. However, we managed to find a way by meeting at the premises of a local charity that Sally's always already referenced. And since then, all three of us, Sally, Mark and I, have had a chance to work with him, because it's carried on for quite a long time. And we've all developed a really deep affection for him. The appointments have stretched over such a long time because he's had complex mental and physical health needs, and he kept going off the radar, and a couple of times he was hospitalised. However, we've seen amazing examples of God's love at work through the interactions we've had with him and the other agencies working with him, and through a strong and deeply committed bond that he has with two friends who they stand together in the most beautiful way. Those ripples of God's love have gone outwards through that friendship group. We've had the privilege of building a trusting relationship with him where he's felt valued and seen and has clearly experienced something of the love of God. Initially, although he agreed to let us pray for him, he made it quite clear that he didn't want any mention of Jesus. So we kept our prayers focused entirely on God the Father. However, that changed, and on one visit, he asked me if we could pray the Lord's Prayer together. It was obviously a really powerful experience for him, because months later, when Sally and Nick delivered food for him, he referred to it and said how much it had meant to him. He's still periodically in touch with us, even though he's now debt-free. He's been clean from drugs for several months. His physical health has improved and he's able to eat. We've given him food parcels now and again. We've printed forms he's needed from official letters. He gets in touch with us because he knows there's someone at the end of the phone who will respond to him. He's a prime example of how, despite the difficulties of working with him, all three of us have encountered God in a powerful way through meeting him and seeing God at work. He has really been a source of blessing to us. As we work with clients curiously, we often find we're being ministered to ourselves as we experience the amazing love of God. CAP Sunday is our chance to say a massive thank you to everyone in our church family. It's not just our work, but that of the whole church, because you have fully embraced the vision of CAP, and it's a key part of our local outreach. We couldn't do what we do without your help. I also want to take the opportunity to say thank you to my two most amazing colleagues, Sally and Mark, to honour them for the support they are to me and for the hours of unseen work they do to give the very best service possible for our clients. They really are amazing. And to finish, I thought you might like, if Dave is able to do this, poor Dave, we've given him so many challenges this morning, but I had a voice message from a client who went debt-free last week, and it was such a lovely message that I asked her if she would be able to record one for us to play in church. I explained it was CAP Sunday and that the church would be really encouraged from hearing from her. And she said, oh, use that one. I said, well, it does mention names. She said, oh, don't worry about that. So she's given her permission for this to be played. She mentions Maggie. Maggie is somebody who has been supporting her as a befriender through the journey. So I will leave you with her as an encouragement. Thank you very much.
He said, I need to read you a text message, and I read it out, and I actually had tears in my eyes because I felt, you know, with where I've been and how, you know, hard it's been. I've always been in debt, actually, and it's always been a struggle. I've never known any different, to be fair, even though I was working full-time. But it's just unbelievable to have no debts, like zero. I feel like it's a real blessing. It's a huge weight off my mind, and it still, it is, but I know the more I think about it, the happier I will become. I just can't believe it. I'm in shock. I know it's good. It's a good shock. I can't believe it. I don't have a single debt in the world. It's wonderful. It truly is. That's one huge thing off my mind. On to the next situation. It was all about rebuilding and regaining, because I lost everything, as you know. And this is one tick. There are a couple of ticks that are working for me, and to have not one single debt in the world is brilliant, and to have a plan in place on how to go forward is fantastic. Financially independent and no debts is just wonderful. Thank you for the impact and part of helping my family. It means so much, and I know Tom is very happy, and Elliot is as well. When I tell Jacob, I know he will be too. Thank you, Rosie, for all your effort, and thank Heavenly Father for you. And Maggie, thank you for all your hard work. Thank you to Cap, who I need to thank them too. I'm very grateful, and thank you so very much. Lots of love, Rosie. Bye.
Yeah, thank you so much to our CAP team and for leading us this morning. We're going to stand in worship now, and we're going to be singing a song, Yet Not I, But Through Christ and Me. And I think a real reminder that, I hope I'm not speaking too much for the team when they would say that the reason they do what they do is because it's Christ working in and through them. And so as we sing this song, let's remember the work of CAP and the lives that are changed because of what Christ is doing in and through us as a community, as well as in and through us as individuals. Let's worship now.